Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a quote that I love. I don't have the understanding of exactly what it means, but I'm endeavoring to know more and more what it means. It simply says, when you have nothing left but God, it is then and only then that you realize He is enough.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
I'd rather have Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, can we lift our hands for just a few moments?
Yes.
Oh, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, God. How wonderful to know you and to serve you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. You may be seated. I want to say thank you for those that were able to allow me to be sick, if you will. Last Sunday, we had every intention of having Revival by Design, but I told some others there had been some sweets that were made for me, and I had them sitting on the center console, and on the way home, I looked over at them, and I wasn't tempted at all by them, and I knew at that point I was not feeling good at all. And I went home, tried to get a couple hours sleep, and told the boys not to kill each other while I was taking a nap, and hopefully when I woke up, I would be feeling better, and I was not when I woke back up. And so thank you for your consideration, and thank you for allowing me to cancel, and that's not something that I do unless I just feel it absolutely necessary. But we will continue with Revival by Design tonight. That's on the schedule. What we had planned for last Sunday will be tonight. And then next Sunday is Labor Day weekend. There will be no PM activity here at the church. However, Brother Spencer Underwood is going to have a bonfire at his house, or a fire pit, or I hope it's not too big of a bonfire, but I don't know. But you are invited out to his place, and if you would like to go, at what time, Brother Spencer, are you planning on kicking that off? About 4 o'clock? So 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you want to come and join. And he has made that offer, and so we will put that up there on the screen as well. That's next Sunday. If you have your Bibles, and you'd be so kind to stand and turn in them with me to the book of Titus. A very large book in the New Testament. Titus chapter number 2. And then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Continuing in our study, the heart and hope of a Christian. And this morning our lesson is about the rapture. The rapture. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to that day. I am looking forward, whether it be while I am alive and remain, as the Bible says, that I am caught away, or if I am in the midst of my dirt nap. Either way, I am looking forward to being caught up to meet him in the air. Amen. Titus chapter number 2, we're in one verse of scripture, verse number 13, says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, being reading in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are talking about the heart and the hope of a believer, of a Christian. And we should, when we talk about the rapture, it should not be with dread. It should not be with fear. It should be with hope. We should comfort one another with these words, that one of these days, our Lord's going to split the eastern skies. One of these days, he's going to call us home, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The focus thought for our study today, I believe it is a good one, simply says, our blessed hope is the soon return of our Lord to catch us away. This hope causes us to live today as if it could be the day of his return. Today could be today. The day could be today. The rapture is coming. I understand that there are different thoughts in reference to prophecy, and there are scholars which may disagree on many points. There are some that believe in what you call a pre-tribulation rapture, that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Others believe that the church will be raptured in the midst of the tribulation. We call those mid-tribbers, or those that believe the rapture is going to happen during the middle of the tribulation or the midst of the tribulation. And then there are those that believe in a post-tribulation rapture, that the Lord will rapture the church after the period known as tribulation. Now, there is many different thoughts and the conjecture concerning which one will take place and when it will take place. But I am not here to discuss when the rapture will take place, but I'm here just to remind us that it will. That the rapture will take place. And whether it's before, whether it's in the middle, or whether it's after, I plan on being ready. Amen? Whether you are a pre-tribber, a mid-tribber, a post-tribber, or whether you don't really have a view, or whether you haven't studied enough to make an opinion or have an opinion concerning when the rapture will take place, can we understand this, that all of them, whether they believe in pre or mid or post, they all believe in a rapture. Matter of fact, there are very few Christian denominations that do not believe in a rapture. Matter of fact, it's hard to read the Word of God and not believe in a catching away. The Bible tells us that there will be a catching away. And while we may never come to the same conclusions regarding the timing of those end time events, we should all be watching and waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the church, that return, if you will, of the Lord to catch us away is what we commonly call the rapture. The time Jesus will come back and that he will take believers, both dead and living, and we will rise to meet him in the air, the Bible says. Now, we look at our day and age. We look at the hour that we live in. We see the darkness of sin and it's deepening on every hand, if you will. The world, as it seems, breaks the law of God with impunity. We're not naive to their wild pursuit of every fleshly pleasure. We understand people have pushed aside all that is decent and modest. They are continuing in unrighteousness. We live in a day and age, like John said in 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We see what's happening around about us. We see what's going on. But we need to be reminded that in the middle of all this, we the church still have a hope. We still have an understanding that this hope does not diminish with time. The Bible says, in fact, that we are getting closer to salvation. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, Romans 13:11. Every day brings us closer to that eventful day. Every hour brings us closer to that hour when the Son of Man cometh. Every minute, every moment brings us closer to that twinkling of an eye moment when we all shall be caught away. And we have that hope. We have that understanding. If you do a little study of the passage in 1 Thessalonians where we read, and more specifically verse 17, it speaks of a catching away, or we shall be caught up. If you look at that Greek word, it's harpazo, which means a sudden snatching or a catching away, as an iron magnet attracts iron. We understand so Christ will catch away those who are his own. Soon he will come, as the Bible says, and take his people home, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Caught up, his blessedness to share. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that moment in that time. And here's an understanding. Here's something that we need to be reminded of. That when this happens, when this great event called the rapture happens, there will be those who mocked and ridiculed and looked down upon us and told us we were foolish and told us we shouldn't believe in this stuff and that it's all just a mystery and it's all just mythical and it's a fairy tale. And all those non-believers will have to then consider, maybe they were right. We see in our world the stage is being set for some of the greatest events ever to be witnessed by mankind. And we need not to forget that God has already written the script. It will not be changed. And even though we see some of the world leaders and they may boast of their accomplishments, they don't even realize they are little more than stagehands. They are little more than stagehands. God is still the director. He still has the whole world in his hands. And make no mistake, though Christ has been assigned by the majority of society a minor role in today's age. Christ, for many, is not seen as someone we should adhere to. And his teachings, for many, are not those that we should apply in our own lives. There are those that even profess Christianity, that if you were to survey their lives, you would see that they don't live it in their day-to-day livelihoods. They have, if you will, assigned Christ this minor role even in their own lives. However, soon he will command center stage. There is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the God they neglected and the one they didn't have any time for and the one that they said was not necessary to adhere to and serve, they will look on with regret in their own lives that they didn't take the time, that they didn't make the most of moments when they had opportunity to turn to him. And though they did not bow in their life to him, they will for all eternity bow to him. I made this note. Those that presently seek no time with him will one day be willing to trade everything for just a moment. Think about that for a minute. Those who do not have enough time to go to church, those who do not have enough time to live for God, those who think it is unnecessary and it's unwarranted for their lives to do what the Bible says, one of these days, though they have despised and they have rejected and they have set aside, one of these days, they will be willing to trade absolutely everything for just a moment. Just a moment of time with the Savior. So, when it comes to the church, when it comes to you and I, we need to be reminded that this hope that we have is a blessed hope. This hope that we have concerning the rapture is not just about what is to come, but it's also about how we live our lives now. That we are a blessed people to know God, that we are a blessed people to serve him. And while we can only imagine the glorious things that will happen as a result of the rapture and the pleasures that will be forevermore, we should also recognize that there are rich benefits to living for God right here and right now. Not only will I look forward, or do I look forward to what is to come, I look forward to what God has for me on a day-to-day basis. And I endeavor to live my life in such a way that when he comes, I will be ready. I will be doing all that I can do and endeavoring to serve him and live my life in accordance with his will. But when it comes to the rapture, there is a blessed hope. Centuries have passed since the writers of Scripture wrote of the great hope of the church. Nations have risen to power and have fallen. Empires have come and gone. And yet, in the heart of every true believer, the assurance of Christ's return lives on. Think about that. Empires have risen and fallen. Kings have reigned and have been dethroned. And yet, through all this and through all of history, the heart of a true believer, since those, I haven't had the opportunity, but I've read some eyewitness accounts of individuals who have had the opportunity to go and visit the catacombs. And they've been able to walk through the areas where Christians were living underground, and because of their faith and the persecution that was in society at their time, they dug holes and tunnels and the catacombs. And then I've come to know this, that one of the most reoccurring themes that was engraved and that was sculptured in many of the places of the catacombs is the story of Lazarus. It is the story of the resurrection. Even in the midst of their persecution, even in the midst of society turning against them and them, many of them having to go underground, many of them losing their wealth and their fortune because they chose to follow Christ, because they chose to be a Christian. The hope that they have, even in such a state as living underground and in a fear of their own lives, was that there is a resurrection. That one of these days they are going to live in pleasures forevermore. One of these days they will be with the Lord forever. We have a verse of scripture, Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. If the Lord tarries and it doesn't happen in my lifetime, and hopefully whoever's standing over the casket and saying words will not have to skirt around the issue. And though I may be 6 feet under in body, even so I would hope that I die with the hope that one of these days there will be the redemption of my body. That one of these days the Lord will call me from the grave. And when the trump of the Lord sounds, I will be caught up to meet him in the air. If it happens while I'm living or it happens after I'm gone, I'm still looking forward to that moment that it's going to happen. And should he tarry, and should I pass from this life, and should I breathe my last breath, I hope that that last breath has with it the hope that he's going to redeem this body. And though they put me in a grave, one of these days my Lord and Savior is going to call me home. What blessedness, what rich benefits will be ours at the rapture. We may be suffering now. We may be misunderstood, even ridiculed on occasion. But when Christ comes, all pain and suffering will have been worthwhile. Apostle Paul said it this way. He had to be somewhat southern. For I reckon. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Though I may have to suffer now, though I may have to go through trouble, and the Lord said it was going to come, and I would have trouble, there is coming a day when every tear shall pass away, and there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more hurt, and there will be no more sickness, and there will be no more pain. There is coming a day when so shall I ever be with the Lord, and I am looking forward to that day. You do a little study of Jewish custom, you will find that in the marriage process or the betrothal process of a bride and groom, an Orthodox bride would receive a written agreement regarding the arrangements of the wedding from her lover. The time, the place, the terms of the future marriage were firmly established in this ketubah, which was a written contract. It was a contract of betrothal. And the groom was gone to prepare a home for her. While he was gone, the bride held in her possession this precious ketubah. this arrangement, this writing, this contract of betrothal. And as months would go by, the young woman would gain comfort and joy as she would pull the contract and she would read and she would understand that the vows of her future husband, that he was going to prepare a place for them to live. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, be comforted. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I will receive you unto myself. I'm looking forward to that day. But right now, I can read his word. I can read his contract that says that he has a design for me. That he has a desire that one of these days, I'm going to be with him forever. And right now, I can be comforted by reading the words of the contract that says that he's coming back for me. You see, the bride knew the wedding party could arrive in her town at the unexpected hour, and that its arrival would be announced by a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The longed for joyous moment would then have come. She had made many careful preparations for this very hour. Her wedding dress would be ready. She would have made sure without spot and without wrinkle it was laid out. It was ready, and now she could put on that wedding garment, and now she could go out to meet her husband. Kind of sounds like this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, announcing the bridegroom cometh. I'm coming to take my bride home. I'm coming for a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I'm coming for now the marriage must happen. Soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon the church will be summoned by God, and not even the grave can hinder that call. For the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, shall be snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. No wonder the Apostle Paul told believers, comfort one another with these words. If you're worried about what's happening, if you're worried that he's delayed his coming, just be reminded. Just look once again at the contract. Just look once again. He said he's going to prepare a place, and he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. He has promised us a home in heaven. Not only did the Orthodox Jewish bride have the written contract, not only did she have that which stated what awaited according to the wedding ceremony, but when a Jewish bride was about to be married, right before the actual marriage, she would be completely immersed in water and symbolically and ceremoniously washed, cleansed before she would meet the bridegroom. Cleansed and then placed upon her the wedding garment, washed in water. She would have been given all these presents that were a part of the betrothal process. She would have been given dowries, if you will. It would have been assigned to them according to the contract. And though they were not actually married yet, at the betrothal, at the washing, the bride would take on the name of her bridegroom. It is no wonder the Bible tells us that we also are preparing to meet our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. The marriage ceremony and the wedding feast, though they have not taken place yet, but ye have been washed, and ye have been sanctified, and ye have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul also wrote, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present to you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2, when you and I go down in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we are being ceremoniously washed, if you will, and we are taken on His name in baptism. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ, and I have put on His name as His bride. I have taken upon His righteousness a spotless garment that says, Lord, I'm ready for You to come take me home. Now we live in anticipation of seeing our heavenly bridegroom. We have taken on His name through water baptism, and we have received precious gifts. The power of the Holy Ghost, the earnest of our inheritance, the token of His love. But understand, one of the utmost concern shown on the wedding day was that a bride's garments were without spot or blemish or even a noticeable wrinkle. And the Bible says Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27. I am so thankful that I could never wash it clean enough myself, that I could never do enough to make it spotless, that my righteousness is as but filthy rags, but because of what Jesus did for you and I can be adorned with a heavenly garment. I can put on a garment without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and I can be ready. Wherefore, beloved, 2 Peter 3:14 says, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is why we as believers take such care to separate ourselves from worldliness and sin. This is why we believe in the scripture that says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I want to make sure, I want to do my best. I want to make sure that I'm doing what I should be doing in keeping myself separate. Without spot. I realize it in and of myself. That is an impossibility, that I cannot on my own accord and by my own doing keep myself. But I can through the power of God. I can resist temptation through Jesus Christ. I can overcome this world and its wiles. I can through Jesus Christ. Be ready to make heaven my home, so that I will soon hear, as the words whose lover in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2:10, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, Paul was deeply concerned that the church be awake spiritually when the Lord returns. He was concerned that we as the body of believers were ready. And we did not delay, that we did not, as the 5 foolish virgins, not make adequate preparations. He said, therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:6-7, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Listen, be sober, be aware, be watchful. Understand that He comes at any moment. Like a thief in the night, He comes. A few minutes after 7 a.m. on December 7th, 1941, Lieutenant Kermit Tyler was monitoring the aircraft traffic at Fort Shafter in Hawaii. He received a call from two privates that were manning a nearby radar station. These two privates that were manning this radar station, they called the aircraft traffic center, got a hold of Lieutenant Kermit Tyler, and they told him, "Sir, there are multiple blips on the radar." Lieutenant Tyler was new to the post and the technology they were using, and thinking the blips were simply a fleet of B-17s that were scheduled to arrive later in the day. He responded to the concerned radar operators with four words that haunted him the rest of his life. Not realizing the blips were actually the first wave of Japanese fighters and bombers that were destined and descending even then for Pearl Harbor. Lieutenant Tyler's four-word response was simply, "Don't worry about it." The return of Christ is imminent. Everywhere there are signs that a great worldwide judgment is pending. God gave us in His Word forceful warnings. Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." He said in verses 40 and 41 of that same chapter, "Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." Christ coming for His church, though we've been forewarned and though we've been told of the events that will surround His coming will be a sudden event. It will happen just, the Bible says, as it did in the days of Noah, while the people were eating and drinking and being merry, even though Moses built the ark for so many years and labored and they saw its construction. He preached warnings about the impending judgment, and yet they did not heed and they did not listen. They just continued life as usual. And then all of a sudden that faithful raindrop from the heavens happened, and they looked down upon their skin and they saw something they had never seen before, for rain had never fallen up until that point. And then they realized that maybe Noah was right. And they ran to the ark only to find the door shut. And they perished because they would not heed the warnings. They would not hear the words of Noah. They simply said within themselves, "Don't worry about it. Not a big deal. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet." For the world that will not obey Him, for those who do not see the necessity to live for Him, for those who in all understanding have no hope of a rapture, their hope, as is said by their lifestyle, is only here and now. They are different from you and I because we have a hope. Even Job, in the midst of his trial, midst of his circumstances, said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand in the latter day upon earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job had hope. And you and I have a hope. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We have a hope, for we all shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and shall be brought to pass the saying, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We have that hope. Can we lift our hands right now? Can we thank God? Are you looking for that blessed hope?
That will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Hey, brother, hey, sister, let me comfort you with some words. One day he's coming. Hey, let me lift your spirits. Let me encourage you that all this is not for naught. Let me remind you that there's a reason why we do what we do. And we live how we live, not only for the here and now, but also for the hereafter. There's coming a day. And what a day.
Glorious day.
Corinthians 5:2 says this, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." 1 John 3:2 says, "For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a day. I'm looking forward to that day. In a few moments, our classes will be returning. If you're praying, we encourage you to continue to do so. If you need to take a break, that would be a good time. Let's be reverent in the house of the Lord in the sanctuary. Just a few moments to begin our second session. God bless you this morning.